Shanda la Buriaste. Yes, Lord. Is it warming in here? But anybody, just a little bit. Y'all bump if you can't bump that AC. I did, brother, and I love it too. Absolutely love it. Somebody catch the lights, if you will. I can see I'm getting old and I can't see as good as I used to could. I have to wear these spectacles and all. I want to encourage you, everybody that's in here right now, stay absolutely engaged for the next 45 minutes. I'm afraid in church we're like kindergarten kids, you know, when teaching small kids, and the younger they are, they say they've got a real short attention span and you've only got 15 minutes or 20 minutes that you can really speak to them. And that's the reason that we come in and so many of our churches are 20-minute sermonettes, because we say people's attention span is not big enough. To me, that's an insult to grown-ups. That's an insult to my children. That's an insult to my grandchildren and all of that stuff. So I just really pray you stay engaged for the next four. This is as I said a while ago, and I don't say that lightly, I feel like this is perhaps the most significant word that I've ever released in this house. I think it is definitely a key and a gateway for us. I know it is for me as an individual, because God's given me some revelation to some things that I've been meditating on for some time now, and I feel like God has shown me some keys to that. You know, the kingdom is so often about keys and unlocking things, and I believe there are gates that will be unlocked because of what I had a great encounter with the Lord last night between 12 and 1, and it was Linda. It was just awesome, and man, he's just good. He is just so good. And Friday night I was in a 4-hour church service, and there was zero altar call time in that. That was a 4-hour church service. It seemed like about 30 minutes. I got there a half hour before church started, and it was already packed and into the overflow out there. And the altar area, which was bigger than ours, the church is smaller than ours, but the altar area is probably about the same volume as ours, and it was already full of people down there just worshiping Lord to the sound of music and all of that. And my wife leaned over to me and she said, "Now remember, this isn't our church. You can't take up 36 cubic feet." I wish I had that problem here. What is our preparation before a king? What is our preparation before encounter with the king? I've been pondering lately and really meditating on what... there's some scripture. Go ahead and turn, if you will, to Mark 2, verse 22. Matt, can you get that for me right quick? Mark 2, verse 22. I apologize. I don't give y'all scripture... the guys in the back in advance, and I need to do better on that. I appreciate you guys, Matt and Todd and all you guys that run the sound and all of that. I know that is a Robert, all you guys. That's a thankless job. All you ever hear is complaints. You know, you did it for a long time. All you ever hear is that was too loud, or this was this and this, and y'all need to do that. I appreciate you guys. I want to try more and more to really cultivate a culture of honor in this place. And we fail miserably in that area. We don't honor people. And I'm not talking about just leadership. This isn't a thing where I want pats on the back and all that. This is people that are honored for who they are. And that's kids Haven's age and Hunter's age to the church leadership. And we need to do a better job. One thing that I found is if you can't honor the things that God has put in place, you really can't honor Him. And these people that cannot honor people and say they honor God are liars. I'm convinced that if I cannot honor His creation and honor His sons and daughters and honor the authority that He has put in my life, it's impossible for me to rightly honor Him. We can fear Him, But we can't honor him properly without honoring these things. And so I really want to work hard in creating a culture. And I don't know how to do that. God's going to have to teach me how to do that. But that's an area. I don't want our generation to run, to our next generation behind me to grow up as lackadaisical about their faith as my generation is. Thursday night at a dinner we were at, Lori and I were sitting with a couple from Arkansas. I'd never met them before. And we just began to talk to them and all of that stuff. And they have two kids and just found out that they had a surprise third one on the way. And, you know, they were excited about that. But I said, you know, so are y'all, you know, in the process of moving here and all of that? And they said, actually, we are. And he said, I'm trying to sell my business right now. And he said, you know, we live on a family farm and we do cattle. My grandfather started it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, and man, y'all are just uprooting and moving to Batesburg, South Carolina. And he's like, yeah, man. And you can just see something in their eye. They're like, just as soon as we can get our business sold, and as soon as we can do this, and the farm's going to stay in the family. We're not selling it to Joe Blow and all of that stuff. But as soon as we can, remember, because we want presence. We want his presence. We need his presence. And I've been really putting a lot of meditation and thought into what is a new wineskin. Let's read the scripture, this one verse. It'll be easy for us. Verse 22, Jesus said, "And no man putteth new wine into old bottles." You can look up at the Greek in that, and it's really wineskins. I feel like it's probably a better translation. He says, "No man putteth new wine into old wineskins, else the new wine doth burst the wineskin, and the wine is spilled, and the bottle it will be ruined." I'm going to read that one more time. "And no man putteth new wine," no man putteth new wine into old wineskins, else the new wine doth burst the wineskin. The wine is spilled, and the wineskin will be marred. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." I'm having trouble reading that. My mind's thinking ahead so far. "But new wine must be put into new wineskins." How many of you have been praying at some point, and hopefully recently, as God's been pouring his spirit out here in just a great way, at least in individual lives, that for whoever wants it, God's been pouring himself out, making himself available here tremendously lately. How many of you have been praying, "God, just give me new wine, new wine, new wine"? You can lift up your hands if you want to. Y'all been praying for new wine? You've been praying for new wine? That is a direct violation of God's laws that he established in asking him to pour new wine as long as we remain an old wineskin. We're asking him to do something that he will not do as long as we remain in an old wineskin. And so, and I knew that. I get that. That's not hard. I mean, Jesus is like, no man does that. It doesn't say a wise man. It says no man. He said, nobody's going to put new wine into an old wineskin. It's stupid. Two things are going to happen. And we've tried to do that for years in church. I've tried to do that. I've cried out for that in my life. And I've tried to do that in this house. Say, "God, we want new wine, new wine, new wine," and then pour it out and all of that stuff. And God said, You're going to tear the wineskin up, and we're going to waste the wine. And I'm not about wasting wine, and I'm really not about tearing up new wineskin. When I left the Baptist church, that's why I left the Baptist church. That's why I stopped pastoring the Baptist church. The last year we were at the Baptist church that I pastored, man, we were blowing up. We led the county in baptisms that year. Led the county in baptisms. Our last service is me being a pastor of a Baptist church. We have the baptism service, the very last service. We baptized somebody on the way out. But the reason that God would not let me stay and turn that into a Baptist expression is for this very principle right here. In Mark 2, verse 22, no man can put new wine in an old wineskin because both will be spoiled. God said, don't try to do it. And one time in my life where I exercised a little wisdom in hearing the voice of the Lord, I said, okay, Lord. And this church was birthed out of that. Many of you, I hope most all of you are glad that it was. So I've been sitting there and I'm saying, God, what is a new wineskin? Jeremy and I have had this conversation about changing the way we do things, and we can't keep doing things the way, about changing our mindset. But that's not how you create a new wineskin. A new wineskin is not something that I can come in and just by will create. And say, God, I'm gonna study more, and God, I'm gonna pray more, and I'm gonna change my mindset, God. And we're gonna change the way we do church. We're gonna stop coming in and doing four songs and then preaching a sermon and then having an altar call, and we're gonna just let it free flow and all of this stuff and everything. The only problem is that in itself does not create a new wineskin. God showed me last night what a new wineskin was. For years, y'all have heard me say, when I married Lori, I gave her my whole heart. And that she got my whole heart. And I got her whole heart. I've been lying to y'all. I couldn't give her my whole heart. Because I didn't know what my whole heart was. She was an 18-year-old girl, fresh out of high school. She graduated in May. We got married in August. The only reason we didn't get married in June, because she told her sister that was 7 years older, her that was engaged, if you want to get married before me, you better do it in June or July. That's true. But I could not give her my whole heart because I didn't know what my whole heart was. You know what I knew? I knew I loved her, and I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. That's all I knew. And that was enough. To start with. But as we have grown in our relationship and gone through different seasons of our lives, then I have been able to give her different parts of my heart. As I walked through one gate, then all of a sudden I saw another gate, and I was able to walk through that and give her a different piece of me that I didn't even know existed when I was a 21-year-old kid that was just love struck. You see what I'm saying? I distinctly remember a shift in our marriage after we had kids. And she saw the way that I loved her children. She said, I bet you could echo this. When you saw Larry come in and embrace Amy as his own and love her with the same love he had for Sonny, which was his DNA, and all of a sudden you gave him a part of your heart that he had not gotten before. Can you say amen on that? I remember a shift in our marriage when it was just, I don't know, it was just like one day I was like, whoa. She saw the way that I loved our daughters. She saw the way that I gave myself to our daughters. And so in that, you know what she did? She gave me a piece of her heart that she didn't even know existed when she was 18 years old. I've seen something like that happen with our grandchildren. That is a 54-year-old man with five young grandchildren. That I can come in and there is a part of my heart that is released and given to them that I did not have. How many of you with grandchildren, you know grandchildren are different than children? We don't have many grandparents in here. Y'all can relate, can't you? I'm not saying that you love your grandchildren more than you love your daughters, but you love them differently, don't you, Courtney? There's a different kind of love in there. There's something that is locked up inside of us for that time and for that season and for that moment. You other guys with kids, it'll come, sonny, it'll come soon enough. And then all of a sudden it happens. You'll realize when you start loving his kids, it unlocks something in you. And there's a piece, you say, well, I've given my whole heart. There's parts of your heart that you can't even fathom right now. As you start growing old with your husband, if you are in right relationship and your marriage is what it's supposed to be, there'll be parts of your heart you didn't even know exist that you can give to him in old age. I saw my mama do it with my daddy. I saw my daddy do it with my mama. When they were old and they knew this thing was winding down. And the way they would love on each other and dote over each other and hold hands when no one was looking, walking in the yard and in the pasture. And she gave him part of her heart. She didn't even know that was in there. But as she went through these gates and went through these places, all of a sudden she realized there's something different in there after a life of reflection and a life of looking back. And a life well lived together. And there are pieces that I can unlock and can give out of that. There are things that can be touched. I can sit back with glory by a fire outside and reflect on 36 years together. And there's part of my heart that is opened up that was incapable of being opened up when I was a 21-year-old kid or an 18-year-old kid when I first fell in love with her. And we come in our relationship with God and we say, God, I want new wine. I want new wine and I want new wine. And God's like, I can't give you new wine because there's a gate that's right there and it's an old wineskin and you've not gotten past that until you give me that gate. Here's the thing. God's ultimate design is not necessarily the gate that he's got to go through. It's the thing beyond that. There are, listen to me on this. And this is some of the revelation that God began to give me last night. And we might tie this in with Bashtai's banquet in a minute. I don't know. Wednesday night was great. If you hadn't listened to it, listen to Wednesday night, okay? Let me just read something right here. I believe there are places in our heart that are reserved only for Him. God built man. God built us. That there are places in our heart that are reserved only for Him. There are places in my heart I can't give. It's a lie for me to say I give Lori my whole heart because God put places in my heart that are reserved only for Him. I can give her more of my heart than I have given anybody else on this planet. But there are places, Christy, there are places in my heart that are reserved for only God. It is impossible for me to give it to anything else. Nothing else can. There are places that are reserved for that. Places that are reserved for that. No one or no thing can touch these places. I believe these are our new wineskins. It is not a new mindset or a new way of doing things. It is giving Him these places. As we do that, we receive His new wine. That's what God started to speak to me. God's not, you know what His primary goal is? His primary goal is not the stuff that I can give other things. We can come in and we say, well, now in our society, all of these things are competing for our affection toward Him and our passion toward Him. I watched about 5 minutes of the LSU football game last night. They were playing Ole Miss, and there was over 100,000 people in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, and it was electric and all of that stuff. And we're like, you know, y'all heard me say it, you know, because I've been to these ball games. I've been down there at night, and I've been to Auburn Stadium and all of these places. And you come in, and it's electric, and you've got 100,000 people that are passionate about something, and they're in unison more. They're just crying out for something. Wrigley Field was covered up with it last night. Well, 46,000 people in the ball game, and then the stadium is surrounded by people and all of this, and there's an energy and electricity and a passion, and people are just pouring themselves. They're giving them that part of their heart, but that's not what God's interested in. He wants the part you can't give to the Cubs. He wants the part that you can't give to Georgia football. He wants the part you can't give to your career. He wants the part you can't give to a new house and house renovation. He wants the part deeper than that. We come in and we think God's in competition with travel ball. God's not in competition with travel ball. But travel ball is a gate that'll keep other gates locked. My career is a gate that can keep other gates locked. You know what I'm talking about? You did that. You moved to Milwaukee. 10 years worth. You told me before, Scott, out of his own testimony, told me before, he said, man, it advanced my career, but it carried me into a spiritual wasteland. Spiritual desert. And it wasn't that that was the ultimate prize, that if I can get your affection instead of your career. No, but that was a gate that kept you from entering into places that were reserved. God wants the places you can't give to your career. God wants the places I can't give to KST. God wants the places I can't give to my hobbies. God wants the places I can't even give to my wife. That's what He's after. But He can't get those places if these stay locked. I'll give you a little simple illustration last night that happened with me. It was, we built a fire outside. We were enjoying that, and the kids came over, and, you know, we were doing marshmallows with Sydney, Hannah, and Zealand and all of this stuff. And when it came time for them to go home, I had, on our way back from South Carolina, I had gone by, one of the big bookstores, Barnes and Noble, and I went in, and when I go there, I always have to get it's kind of like my porn. I have to get a Drake magazine and a Covey Rise magazine. You know, I already get Shooting Sports and Deliver. And so we went by, and we got those in the Starbucks, and I was kind of like, whew, I felt like I'd been to the porn shop, you know. It was like, whoa, yeah, it's going to be great later on. Don't be offended, come on. I've never been to a porn shop, I'm just saying. Y'all see them on the interstate, we all do. I always wondered what was in those places. I never turned in. Stephen, you act like you've been before. You just like, hey. Hey. All right, everybody hang with me. Don't let that religious spirit rise up in you. We are supposed to be a non-religious church. We done kicked that thing out a long time ago. Let me get back on where I was. But I came in last night, and you know what my flesh really wanted to do? My flesh wanted to sit down and either spend about just an hour, because I was already reasoning this. I'm like, God, if you'll give me an hour, I'm going to watch some of that football game, because I haven't watched any college football today. And it's going to be a good game. And if you'll give me an hour, I'll watch that and I'll read one magazine article. And then I'll study and all of that. But you know what I said? No. I put it down. And said no to that and yes to Him. He wasn't really after that hour. You know what He was after? From 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. is what He was after, Linda. But I'm firmly convinced, and this is just a simple little illustration, I'm firmly convinced if that gate had not been open for Him at 10:30 or at 10 o'clock or whatever time it was, if that gate had not been open for Him, then it would have locked up the second gate that I got unlocked about 12 o'clock. That's a new wineskin. The new wineskin didn't happen at 10, but the new wineskin happened because of what happened at 10. You see what I'm saying on this, guys? When I say yes to these things that I can give everything else, that I can give to this and I can give to that, it unlocks what is to come. Isaac, God's ultimate goal is not to take the affection that you have for stuff in life. God's cool with you liking to hunt and fish. God's going to be cool with you falling in love with some little old girl one day. He is not... That's not His main thing that I want to come in. And that's what the people don't realize. When He says, I'll give you not just life, but more abundant life. He said, I'm going to carry you past places that the world can carry you. I'm not in competition with the world. God didn't wake up yesterday morning and say, oh no, it's opening day of deer season. I just lost 20% of my church in Georgia. No more than He got upset September 4th when college football kicked off. Because He said, my goal is for something deeper than that. My goal lies beyond this. My prize lies beyond this. But a lot of you are shut off in these things in your life because you can't get past the gate. It's been hard for me lately on some stuff. Man, my career and all that, we're in a transition. It's a good transition, but it's been tricky navigating, and I've been super stressed about it for about 4 weeks. I mean, like 24-7 trying to... I tried hard, worked real hard for 48 hours this weekend to totally shut it off and not worry about it and come in and say, you know what? This is 48 hours of God. And you know what happened out of that? When I said yes to that, then you know what happened out of that? I had an extremely peaceful day Saturday, and I'm going to have an extremely peaceful day today. Because I made it through that gate. See what I'm saying on this? If I had failed in that gate, Ambry, then I would not have got whacked out Friday night at Hope Chapel. But because I made it through that gate, then God ultimately got something that was beyond that gate, which was the new wineskin. A new place of our heart. That's what He's after. He's not after this and this and this, but He wants that gate to be unlocked. And then the new wineskin is a new piece of His heart that you've never, and a new piece of your heart that He's never got before. You're going to find something. If you guys do this thing right, you're going to find something that this is going to be such an evolving relationship, such an evolving marriage, and you'll look at her and you'll be like, doggone Amber, you know, in 10 years, you're going to say, man, she's just a different woman than what I, you know, married and all, because you're going to find out she is so much deeper and richer, and she's a deep well, and there is so much in there and all of that, and it's going to, these things are going to be unlocked, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to get a different piece of her heart. When she gets pregnant, and if both of you are excited about her being pregnant, you know what will happen? You'll get a different piece of her heart. You'll get a new wineskin. And it'll totally relate to you differently. It'll show you things differently. You'll look at her differently. You know the way she glowed when y'all got married? I was standing there right next to you. I saw it. You were beautiful and you glowed and you radiated. Most brides are. Most brides are. You know, so I'm not propping you up and saying you're awesome, Ambry, but you are a bride, and so you radiated. You know what most pregnant women, when they're excited about being pregnant, you know what they do? They glow. I know they gain 40 pounds, but have y'all ever looked and said, glow? No. Lori gained 40 pounds with both our girls, and I looked at her, and she didn't do nothing but radiate. And I'm like, you look amazing. Tiffany, when you were pregnant, you looked amazing. And I know you were sitting here. You gained a good, you talked more than 40. Tiffany gained more than 40. But you know what? You radiated. Didn't nobody look at you and go, whoa! Y'all see what I'm saying? There was a part of your heart, or there will be a part of your heart, that is released. That will be released to Him that's not released right now. And then when you see her holding that baby in her arms, y'all's son or daughter in her arms, then there'll be another part of her heart. That all of a sudden, that thing, there's another gate that you're going to walk through. And you know what it'll be? It'll be a new wineskin. And you'll be able to receive from her in a different way. You'll see things in her. You'll be mesmerized by her because all of a sudden she's operating in a different parameter. And what it is, it's a new level or a new layer of her heart. Y'all getting this? You see what I'm saying on this? You're going to see the same thing when you realize this cat's been committed to me for 20 years, for 25 years. And I see the look in his eye. I know how he looks at me. He still looks at me. He's still got that look toward me. And you'll see that. And all of a sudden, you know what? He'll get another level of your heart. And then all of a sudden... And it happens even with adversity. When we're faced with adversity or sickness and all of that stuff, it's not always just good stuff and glorious stuff. Don't with the sickness and stuff that you've been battling and dealing with and all of that. You know what happens? You get another level of Kathy's heart. You get part of her heart you didn't get when y'all first got... How many years y'all been married now? 21 years. You got a part of her heart you didn't get when y'all got married 21 years ago. You know? I mean, I guess when y'all got married, it was like, man, I love her and she's cool and there's a physical attraction there and all of that stuff. But all of a sudden, you know what you got? And that still should be there. But you know what you got when you started getting diagnosed with sickness and dealing with things? You got a grace from her. Hello, somebody. You got a grace from her that was unlocked until that point. Amen. You got a grace from her that was locked until that point. But at that point, you know what happened? You got another part of her heart and it was opened up. You got a new wine. I'm sorry. You got a new wineskin. You got a new wineskin. And in that new wineskin, there was the capacity for God to pour new wine in. And that's what I'm talking about with us. It didn't happen when I just got saved and God got all my heart. Bull! You didn't even know what you were giving Him. You were just sorry because you were a sinner and you didn't want to die and go to hell. And you felt His love and were overwhelmed with that. So you said yes to Him, but you didn't know what you were getting. But this thing about new wineskins is not a change in mindset. It's like, oh, I'm going to get more dedicated. I'm going to get more devoted. I've got a thing written in there of being more intentional in my faith. And it's great to be more intentional in my faith, but that's not a new wineskin. God spoke to me and Lori this year to invest in our spiritual life this year. And we've invested time and money in our spiritual life this year. This weekend cost me 48 hours and about $400. And it was worth every moment of it. Because in that it opened up. Started unlocking. I know what spiritual family feels like. It's what I feel when I go up there, spiritual family. I'm not about to move to South Carolina. God hadn't spoke that to me. I think I'm very content here in Bremen, Georgia. But I know what like pursuit feels like, and I so long for this whole body to feel like this. I'm with you on it. And I so want this whole body to feel what like pursuit feels like. But here's the thing, you've got to conquer the gates in front of you before that new wineskin can come in. Shane, you know what we'll feel Tuesday night? It starts at 7, I think. We'll get there at 6 o'clock an hour. We'll probably get there at 5:30 and the doors will open up at 6 and there'll probably be hundreds of people waiting just to get in the building an hour before the doors open. And when you are willing to do that, and say yes to stuff like that, you know what it does? That's not God's ultimate goal. But what it does is it unlocks a gate that goes into a new place. And all of a sudden, you're going to see a new dimension. You'll see a new dimension and you'll start to feel a new dimension. You'll start to experience a new dimension. You want these new dimensions to be unlocked and opened up? Then you've got to say yes and open the gate that's in. Allow God to gain that gate, to win that gate, so He can get the ultimate prize. Right now they're trying to take Mosul, aren't they, from ISIS? Sal, you keep up. They're in the middle of trying to take Mosul right now. You know what happened before they started to take the city proper of Mosul? They had to take the surrounding areas. Before they get to the heart of the city, they've got to take the outskirts. And that's what God's doing. You know what those new wineskins are? Every level. And what will happen is you will get burnt for the outer levels, so you'll long for the more that God conquers you on that. That's what God did to me on fishing. I hate to stray from Scripture. I got a lake next to my house. I go out and feed them. It was like sharks in it with old catfish, just big old catfish coming up. I mean, they're just sharks out there. You know how long it's been since I've been fishing in that lake? I can't tell you how many years. Because I got burnt for it. And it started with a little old stock and 10-inch trout. Now I'm burnt for them. Don't care nothing about catching them. I want the pigs. And God wants to burn you from some things. God wants to burn you for some things that you think are such a contending point. And God said, that ain't a contending point. That's just a gate. And that's on you. And you need to say yes to opening that gate so we can really get where we want to go. I've been listening to some people lately. And Mark Wilburn's one of them. Blow your mind some places God's taken them. Went in there Friday night and Pastor Aaron's talking, or Apostle Aaron's talking about the same thing. David's whole mindset of warfare has changed. He said, you know when it changed? When I saw Michael. He meant when I saw Michael. No, he meant when I saw Michael. I don't get too weird on y'all, freak any of y'all out and y'all around and say, them folks are crazy. I'm just saying there's dimensions that guys, we ain't even. Pastor Aaron said he just had an encounter with Melchizedek. We just want to get slain in the spirit. That's just a gate. I like it, but it's just a gate. I don't want to lay hands on that. I like it, but it's just a gate. God's got places that are reserved, Randy, that just for Him. In me, that I can't give anything else. I can't give her. I can't give you. I can't give my career. I can't give my farm. I've still got dreams. I've got dreams for my farm. And I've got dreams for business. And I've got dreams for relationships. But God's got places reserved, Trace, for just you and Him. And if you really saw those things, it would scare the mess out of you. Everybody that got a glimpse of it in the Bible, either they couldn't write about it. Apostle Paul said it was forbidden me to even speak of it. They were like Isaiah and they fell on their face and was just a pile of putty. And we can't even get past the gate of, I think I'm going to go to church today. That is not a new wineskin. Not a new wineskin. Let me read something else, and I'm about to wrap this up. We'll talk about, we might talk about Esther's banquet again. I mean, Vashti's banquet again Wednesday night. Access to these places remain locked as long as the gateways are given to other things. Y'all hear that? Access to these places remain locked as long as the gateways are given to other things. God's ultimate goal or prize is not these gateways, which can be given to other things, but the things that they lead to that are reserved only for Him. That is what He desires. I don't know if that rocked anybody's world in here but mine, but that rocked my world. Let me read that again. Y'all get this. This is huge. Y'all get it when I was... Everybody that's experienced in the physical, when I was talking to Tyler and Ambry, you could relate, couldn't you? Because y'all have experienced a lot of that. Our spiritual life's the same way, Terry. There are depths and there are places that God wants me to carry. There are things that I can feel. I love you and I'm in covenant with you and we've been friends for a long, long time. But there are things that are reserved for her that are not reserved for you. And I'm not just talking about physical intimacy. There are feelings that I have toward her as much as I love you and I would die for you. But there are feelings and there's connection and there's stuff, there's part of my heart that is given to her that's not given, it's off limits to you. Some of you, the reason you had failed marriages is because you never were able to go through those gates to give deeper. I bet I could ask anybody, and I'm not knocking anybody in here that's been divorced, but I bet I could ask anybody in here that's been divorced and say, are there pieces of your heart that you are not able to give your first spouse? And you know what y'all would say? Absolute. And is that not true, Cindy Hardy? And if you had been able to give those places to your spouse, and he had been able to give those places to you, you wouldn't be sitting here divorced today, would you? I think everybody can say amen to that. Everybody can recognize. We get that in the physical, but the same thing, the same principle, the same truth holds true in our spiritual lives. And that's the reason we're frustrated. Because there are things that are in there I want you to feel toward God. And Him stirring you, Brooke, like nothing else can touch. That's what's going to change your life. Really change your life. When God touches you in places that this brother can't. And that's not knocking him. I hope he's an awesome, amazing husband, man. I like him. I hope he's as good a husband as he is a guy. I like him. But here's the thing. If your spiritual fulfillment is only as deep as what he can touch, or only as deep as what I can touch as a preacher, that I hope you like my preaching, I hope you like the energy in the church and all of that stuff, that's cool. But I can only touch you at certain levels. But when God touches you in places that nobody else can touch, that's when you're smitten. That's when you're burnt for everything else. And that's what triggers you. That's what runs frustration out. That's what runs frustration out. Because you know you're in a journey and you're going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in this thing. And you know how you do that? Gate after gate after gate gets opened. And what it is God gets pieces of your heart you didn't even know were in there. And all of a sudden you go in this next phase. God opened up new places in my heart at the age of 50. You know what He's doing at age 54? He's opening up new places I didn't even know existed. And it's not up here, it's here. That's why I do this down here. That's why I do. And I do the same thing in my bedroom when it's just me. You can ask my wife. She'll come in there and I'll be doing, you know, pirouettes before the Lord. I hadn't put on a ballet dress or anything yet, but if He likes it, I will. But there are places that God wants to unlock. Let me read. Lord wanted me to read this again. Everybody listen to this. This is heavy, guys. This is heavy. This is huge. I believe there are places in our heart that are reserved only for Him. No one or no thing can touch these places. I believe these are our new wineskins. It is not a new mindset or a new way of doing things. It is giving Him these places. As we do that, we receive His new wine. Access to these places remain locked as long as the gateways are given to other things. God's ultimate goal, prize, is not these gateways, which can be given to other things, but the things that they lead to, that are reserved only for Him. That's what He desires. That's what He desires. That's what He desires. One more illustration on this. I really want to drive this home. This is huge. You and I are good friends, James. I consider you a good friend. I feel like we are spiritually connected. I feel like God put us together for the long haul. I really believe that. I believe I could call you up and ask you for, you would do anything in your power to help me out. You know, I really believe that in everything. And as good as that is, I know that as our relationship continues to grow and develop through the years, that there will be new places that we'll enter into. But that has got a lid on it. Okay? Tammy, if all you got of James is what I got of James, you would be unfulfilled as a wife. And I'm not talking about sexual intimacy. I'm talking about kids, y'all close your ears. If all you got of James was what I got of James, you would be unfulfilled as a wife. You're not contending for what I'm contending for. You're contending for something deeper. See what I'm saying on this? You're contending for a much deeper level than what I'm contending for. I'm contending for his heart. I want his heart. I love his heart. I connect with his heart. I feel like we're in like pursuit in life and everything. But here's the thing. You're contending to a greater level of that heart. Okay? If you don't get it, you would be very frustrated. I never get guys that would rather go do stuff with other guys than they had their spouse. Usually they have a not very good marriage. If they're, I'm not saying that you can't ever do stuff with guys, but if your heart is, I'd rather go do something with the guys than I had my wife, you don't have a healthy marriage. Because what you're doing is you're giving your wife the same level of heart that you're giving your buddy Rose. So you're contending for a deeper level. God's contending for a deeper level. You think about your very, very best friend on this earth, girlfriend on this earth. I don't know if it's Haley or whoever it might be. But you think, James is contending for a deeper place in your heart than Haley is. God's desiring that same thing. God's contending for a deeper place in your heart than he is for travel soccer or whatever it might be. Your business career, your farm, or your passion, or your hobbies, or my hunting, and all of that stuff. He's contending for a much deeper place. But those places can often be gates that stand in the way. I'm not contending for this, but I've got to go through this. Until I go through this, this is locked. Until he holds you in a higher place than he holds me, guess what? There are parts of his heart that I'm not even contending for. The enemy's not contending for those deep places because he knows they're off limits. He's contending for all the gates that will keep Father God from getting there. That's why all these distractions are out in society. That's why all this social media, you get bombarded with all of that. The warfare is not for those deep places in your heart. It's for the gates that get there. He knows he can't touch those. But if I can come in and contend for all these others, those will remain locked. You know what's going to happen for most Christians when they get to heaven? They're going to walk. You know why God's going to have to wipe? We always think God has to wipe away all tears and all this stuff because we see lost loved ones cast into the lake of fire. And that is a possibility. I'm not trying to disregard that. But you know what a lot of it's going to be? We're going to sit here and we're going to see all the magnitude of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. And we're going to see all of that. And we're going to see everything that was available for us and everything that He desired to do. My grandkids and my kids have no idea the things that I want to do in their life and bless them with. Using my ideas are much grander than theirs. And when we get to heaven, the majority of Christians are going to get to heaven and they are going to be busted up for a short season because they're going to sit here and say, my gosh, I had no idea. I had no idea I had access to all this. I had no idea that all this was available. I had no idea he was contending for that. Had no idea. No idea. Got something you want to add on this? I know you do. You about to bust. Come on up.
I've been about the best. praise and worship team, will y'all come on up? And if you're on the worship team and you need to stop, I give you freedom and liberty to stop and hear this that we're about to enter into. And I'd like you to sing the first song. I feel it in my heart. You're about to move. That one, I don't know the name of it. Spirit Move. That's it. That's it. It's so funny that Sydney's, what he got last night, God gave me earlier this morning also, but he used a little bit different illustration on these gates. And it's just tag teaming together with what Father's trying to teach us. You know, Nick, you've had word with Nick a couple of weeks ago on being in the battle, and we have to have our sword. And that's so true. And then we had Jeremy teach last week on the 12 tribes going into the Holy Land. And two of them staying here on this side of Jordan because their cows were fed. They had everything they needed. And they were content. But they missed out on the grapes that were so big they had to carry them here on the other side. And one of the keys God's been showing me and Sydney through Damon, and this is one of your assignments this week, is to buy the Passion Translation on the Song of Songs. We don't give you much to do, but this is the key that we're talking about. This is the gate that we're talking about. It's love and devotion to Him. This is everything to where we're wanting to go, where God's wanting our nation, His people, His bride as a world. He's starting to get us to have a glimpse into it. And how we break through those gates, we have two horses, and they're big and beautiful. But because we have cows, we keep them locked off in a small section of our pasture. How many acres? 2 acres. And we have 60 acres in pastures. And we keep them in 2 acres most of the time. They're well fed, Micah. They're well fed. They're watered. They're loved. I brush them. I love on them. But every now and then, we open that gate and we let them run hard and free, and they don't have to stop and turn corners. They're just free all over that farm. And they run. It's a sight to behold of beauty, the freedom of horses when they're free. And you know what God spoke to me, Nick? And God spoke to me, Jeremy, and on the words that they had. He said, when we're in battle constantly, we're in those 2 acres. That's why we're not seeing results, is we're in those 2 acres. And we pick up our sword, by golly, and we're going to fight this thing and all this. And we're going to stay on this side of Jordan because we're fed over here. We're too scared to go through over there. And the gate to go to freedom is devotion. Devotion lets us be free over the whole pasture, over everything that we can see and want. And when we're doing that, when we're free, we know when to pick up our sword and we're effective. Another illustration of that is David. When David is what you use in Moses. When David went and he killed Goliath, how many other illustrations do you hear of him killing anything in the Bible? Twice. He killed a lion and he killed a bear. But what in the world did he do all those other years and days when he was out in the shepherd, out in the field? He was communing with his God. So that when the lion and the bear came, no problem. And when he walked up to the giant, he said, "Who is this Philistine that defies my God?" And threw the stone and he killed him. It was because of the devotion. It's because, Hunter, he had devotion to God that he didn't have to sling stones every day. He only slung a stone when he saw the enemy. And it was effective and it cut and it killed. And he only threw those stones then. And also, he wasn't confined to this side of Jordan where you are fed. God's saying, not only do I want to feed you, TW, not only do I want to water you, I want to set you free. I want to set you free to run where you want to run because that's my nature. That's my nature. Damon's to give one more illustration. There's angels, and I've never heard it spoke this way before. There's created angels around the throne with 6 wings. And he said, why did they need 6 wings? Picture it. Picture it. And go there in your mind. There's a creature with 6 wings. And it's because God is so mighty and so deep that he has to get on a different level from a different angle to see all of God. He has to get on a different pitch. He has to get on a different angle. So he's going to fly around that throne with all these wings. And it's just so he can see them at a different angle. But we limit ourselves. We stay in our 2 acres. And we see Father God, Savior. And he's saying, spread your wings. Come to me and I'll show you all of my love. All of my things I want to give you. All of that. That's what he's talking about. A new wineskin. Don't put this new wine into an old wineskin. It's called devotion. Devotion. Stand up with me. Oh, let me just read it. Song of Solomon. The Shulamite is us, and she says, smother me with your kisses, your spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses, I drink them like the sweetest wine. His spirit kiss, he wants to kiss you this morning. He wants to kiss you this morning with his spirit kiss. It may be salvation, but I think it's going to be devotion. Devotion. This is our time to let God kiss you right now. Let God kiss you. Father, as we come before you, Lord, we pray that through this we'll open the gates to be free, so that we'll know when to bring out our sword and we'll know when to sit and just love on you, Father. We'll know all these things you'll teach us and show us, Lord. And we just want to be your bride. Help us prepare ourselves to be your bride, so that we'll not only, we'll walk across Jordan and we'll be free in you, Lord. Free to lead others across that river with us, Lord. Free to lead others as you have led us. Amen. Let the Spirit move on your heart this morning. Let the Spirit move on your heart. Be free. I have been free this morning. Be free to let Him come in and kiss you this morning. Let Him come in and kiss you. Let Him kiss you this morning. See where that gate opens when you let Him kiss you. See where that leads you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's not about anybody laying hands on you. It's about Father God, Holy Spirit, Son of Man, kissing you this morning. Oh, da, da, da.